Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. Today I'll be reading the article Universal Cosmic Natural Moral Law, which is known as Natural Law. This is based on Mark Passio's podcast number 36. I've also added some additional information. These sections are natural law etymology, natural law alternate terms, natural law and man's law, consciousness as natural law expressions with the five sections from Mark Passio's natural law expressions chart. Then we have right and wrong, is force the same as violence, is killing the same as murder, and finally, the choice is ours. Natural law etymology. The word natural is present in or produced by nature. It's not acquired, it's inherent. Synonyms are innate, native, characteristic, indigenous, inherent. Well, it's from nature. Nature, natural. Something inherent. Innate. They're essential properties of a thing. Comes from the past participle of nasi, to be born. And if you look into some of the other work I did on etymology recently, I've tied in, and I think you can find them through axioms, existence and consciousness and identity, and the other one, tracing reality, a visionary quest to wisdom. In there I go into nasi and gen and genera and relate care to knowledge. Anyways, to continue, nature is inherent and exists outside of a cause by humans. Nature is the universe, not simply green nature, the animals, or the environment of the planet. Also, the Egyptian word NTR, neter or necher, can be seen as the original source for the word nature, and neter has the meaning divine, god, or spirit. Natural, then means related to spirit. It is the law whose essence comes from the spiritual domain and manifests in the physical reality. I haven't reviewed this, but Matu Neter, I think it is. It means the symbols of the gods, and that was referring to their language. And symbols contain the essence of meaning and definition. So if you understand that, then Metu Neter, instead of just God, it'd be the symbols of God, symbols of spirit, symbols of the divine. I just want to add that. So it'd be the essence. What's natural is the essence of the divine God or spirit. If we want to get into the Egyptian aspect. I still need to review this. I'm just spurting this out as an inductive expression. I haven't verified it more and more in depth and cleared up all the symbolism, but just from what I'm recently reading, I recall this aspect that relates where Metu Neter is actually the symbols of the gods. And that was the hieroglyphs to display representations of reality through images, pictograms, symbols, hieroglyphs, art. And it expressed through symbols principles of natural law and reality. Morality, our actions, our deeds, our thoughts, our care. And this was expressed visually. And that was the Metu Neter. Alright, to continue with the article. Law. So it's principles, morality, conscience. Literally, it's something laid down or fixed. Law with a capital L is something laid down and put into a fixed position in existence. It's immutable and unchanging. So you have the minor laws of man's delusional laws we put down, and they're just based on arbitrary bullshit. And then there's real laws that are immutable and are objective and can be discerned by everyone, and they're not based on geographical location or the whims of a petty man. Next word is principle. This means origin, source, like an axiom. It's elemental, at the base, the beginning. origin cause. It's a first part. It's a foundation. It's prime. An accepted or professed rule of action or conduct, so principle, can often be directly related to morality, which has to do with action or conduct, your behavior, what you have in your hands through your actions, because that's what represents us, that's what we possess at all times. If you want to learn more about that, you can look into the article on etymology, characters and our character, and I go into morality and behavior. No, it doesn't mean beehive. It means be have, what you have. What you have in your hands. Your actions are always in your hands. You can have a pencil at one time or another, but your actions are forever and always in your hands. Continue. Principle, a fundamental law, doctrine, axiom, such as the principles of physics. Some idioms are in principle, in essence, fundamentally. So when you're talking about something in principle, you're getting to the root of it, the essence. But on principle, you're talking about the ideal. It's on principle, you're doing something on principle. Not because it's a big deal, but because it's truth and it's what matters. So natural law or law of nature does not mean law of the jungle, of our environmental condition. Natural law is not the imitation of the functionality of plants or animals in nature. Each species has its own nature to follow, not to imitate the nature and evolutionary development of other species. More on this truth later, which I have, since writing this article, I've expanded on more about the animal aspect of natural moral law. Neither is natural law the, quote, natural law from early 15th century or natural order as the apparent order in nature from the 1690s. Natural law is based in principles of truth about the reality we live in. Principles are first and foremost, at the root, the most necessary and important, a foundation to build upon. The word principle expresses natural moral law in the very way we use the word itself, such as in principle and on principle. Natural law is an essential property of existence. It is born into being and is forever there in our reality without human causality. Our goal is to put these principle first things first in our lives, as we would with capital, the real capital of truth and morality, which I have an article on. You can look for from capital to capitalism, a false proxy for enslavement or something. So our goal is to put these principle first things first in our lives, to recognize and align with them because they are based in truth, not belief. Man's society is not putting original, generative, beginning foundational principles first, but trivialities, lies, and deception. Therefore, natural law is not man's law. Here's a quote by Mikhail Bakunin. The liberty of man consists solely in this, that he obeys the laws of nature because he himself recognizes them as such, and not because they have been imposed upon him externally by any foreign will whatsoever. Next section, natural law, alternate terms. Natural law, or universal law, cosmic law, spiritual law, moral law, is also known under other names. These terms use different words but essentially express the same concept once we understand what is being said. The law of cause and effect. Effect follows cause. For every action, there exists an equal and opposite reaction. In the Kabbalion, it says, every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. Everything happens according to law. Chance is but a name for law not recognized. There are many planes of causation, but nothing escapes the law. Next one is called the law of attraction. Many people misunderstand what this means. See, when you understand cause and effect, what you reap is what you sow, well then you can understand attraction is what you attract, is what you put out. So, the energy you emit is the energy you attract. Energy flows where attention goes. So if you want to change the negative situation, well then look at the negative situation, and then you'll be able to change it. It's not looking at the negative is going to make it more negative. Do you want to change the negative? Well, then look at it, and then you'll know what positive to do. Because as long as you ignore the negative, then you're going to keep repeating the same negative because you are ignorant of it. All negatives and all evil must be known in order to not engage in them. Or you have to know what is right to not do those possible wrongs that you don't even know exist. But if you don't know about them, then you're going to keep creating them if you're already doing them. And if you don't know about them, then you're probably going to create them into the future as a possible solution because you don't know truth and morality enough. So here's a quote from James Allen. Not what he wishes and prays for does a man get, but what he justly earns. His wishes and prayers are only gratified and answered when they harmonize with his thoughts and actions. Nothing magical here. Nothing supernatural. Nothing special. It's all just you create, and that's what is, and you get back based on the reciprocity of what everyone else is creating, based on what you're creating, and that's the world we live in. You reap what you sow. The energy you put out, that's what you're going to get back. If you don't do anything, well, guess what? You're not going to have anything. Karma, you reap what you sow. As you sow, so shall you reap. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Golden rule, why is it golden? Look into etymology, symbolism. Golden, yeah, what's the golden? What's golden around us? The most natural golden thing, every day. Look up in the sky. On a clear day, what are you going to see? The big golden disc in the sky. The light. Gold is reflecting light. That's why gold is symbolism for light and truth. Because truth is the light. Gold is the pure. And in alchemical aspects, you go from bronze to silver to gold. The perfected state. Allegedly. But in terms of just the color and what it does, gold, it reflects light compared to other colors which don't reflect light very well. But silver and gold do. Well, gold is very shiny. And it's the color yellow of the sun, which provides life to the earth. And it's the truth and the light. So the rule of truth and the rule of light and the rule of morality and the rule of justice and the rule of wisdom is the golden rule. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Morality is the most important thing in our lives. People don't get it yet. They don't want to go to the depths of morality. They think they're already living morally because they don't hurt other people around them. But they don't understand how what they do in their lives, what they buy, that's involved in immoral things. Our whole way of living is involved in immoral things. People aren't aware of it, so they can't possibly face themselves honestly and recognize how they need to change, because they're not even aware of how corrupted they are. Also, we have the 7 Hermetic Principles. This isn't natural moral law, but these are other universal laws. These are 7 base universal laws, known as the 7 Hermetic Principles. Principle of mentalism, correspondence, vibration, polarity, rhythm, cause and effect, and gender. Go read the book, The Kybalion, if you want more information. You can go study about it. Cause and effect is the one that's most representative of natural law. The other 6 are just part of the 7, which are laws we can understand that are reflected in reality. So natural law is hermetically sealed. Nothing can touch it. It is always going to be in operation and will not change, sealed forever. There are consequences to our actions. If we choose to align ourselves with dogma, false beliefs, lies, and deception, we will create suffering. If we choose to recognize truth and unite with it, by embodying principles of universal cosmic natural moral law, we will create freedom, peace, and order in our lives. Doing what is false, wrong, or bad creates more falsity, wrongness, and badness. Doing what is right, good, and true creates more of the same. We can choose to align with the forces of creation in reality as it is, the truth, or align with the fantasy illusions of man as God dictums of believing whatever we want. Natural law and man's law. Natural law is based on principles of truth, while man's law is based on beliefs and claims to authority. Embodying, harmonizing, complying, aligning, and living according to principles of natural law has been done by people like Gandhi, who had recognized this knowledge, while most of us are living in the illusion of a myriad of law volumes that we are expected to understand. They fabricate nonsense into existence with rules and regulations to confuse and complicate our lives. We comply for fear of punishment if we do not. We can choose to become enlightened through an understanding of the forces of the universe as they are, or we can stay out of the prison cell of punishment by complying and basing our actions from the lowest modality of consciousness, fear. Man's law is based on the dictates of men giving power to create rules of conduct. These laws can be different from one time to another or one place to another. So how are they supposed to be based on right and wrong if they are always changing? Choosing what is right and wrong instead of recognizing right from wrong is moral relativism. Universal cosmic natural moral law is sourced from the cosmic forces of creation. Which force do you want to align yourself with? You want to choose right and wrong based on your own personal choices? You're going to dictate whatever you choose, that's right and wrong? Or you're going to recognize right and wrong and make your choices according to that? One is ego living, and one is more in the true self living. In society, there are some who are punished and lose their freedom for not having harmed another, while others who engage in harm against another are never acted upon and stopped. So you have people who, say, smoke weed. They didn't harm anybody, but they get put in jail. And you have other people, crooks of society, big people in the establishment and politics and police and business. They do huge crimes, harm thousands of people, but they never get stopped. And they just keep going along. Different games. In order for someone to violate natural law, another must be violated or harmed, and then action can be taken against them to stop this harm. No imaginary rights can be invented or granted to individuals or groups where they did not exist for every other individual. For example, can you imagine giving someone a right you do not possess? If one person can't steal from others, who then can take from the labors of others? No one. No amount of people collected into a group can assume or grant such a right that does not exist. If 1,000 people don't have the right to take the labor of others by threats, which is what taxation is, then a group of these 1,000 people calling themselves government can't invent or assume a right that does not exist. Granting something you do not possess yourself is an illusion. A right cannot be assumed if it does not already exist. So why can't we write laws into existence? Because we are not God. Man's law is irrelevant in light of the revelation and recognition of universal cosmic natural moral law. If man's law is in contradiction with natural law, it is false and immoral and not binding upon you. Otherwise, it is in harmony with natural law and is redundant. Next section, consciousness as natural law expressions. This chart is made by Mark Passio, explains the whole dynamic of life very accurately. And this is, I have to say, out of all Mark Passio's work, amazing as it is in different aspects and different capacities, and it's so great, this is the most important work he's ever done. This is the most amazing thing that expresses life. I've learned the most from this, I think. It's just amazing what I've been able to build upon on my circle of life infographic, where I tie the trivium, which has to do with how we live, with natural law expressions, which have to do with how we live. And there's a lot that I wouldn't know if it wasn't for Mark Passio. And this is the most important infographic that you have to learn. And then you can progress. Natural law expressions go through four main stages based on the initial polarity, either love or fear. So I have made my own natural law chart that is coupled with the trivium and levels of consciousness to explain this in different ways. Not the way Mark explains it, but using his basic structure in a different way. So instead of the fifth one, the last one on the bottom, instead of having five, I only have four. Well, I have three. Instead of the four main ones, after love and fear, I have three, and then I conclude it with the generating or manifesting with the good or chaos. So that chart I made, please understand how the natural law expressions are generated, which you can read a bit on the previous article on consciousness and polarity. There I talk about the initiative expressions of knowledge and ignorance a bit. I go into sovereignty and confusion, freedom and control into more detail, and good and evil a bit. Now I'm going to go briefly over knowledge, ignorance, sovereignty, confusion, freedom and control. So if you want more, go to the previous article. It's shorter than this one, consciousness and polarity, or you can listen to the audio, or go back to Mark Passio's podcast 36, and he has other podcasts which go into more things, but I'll just basically express it. You have love, and you can only stay in love. Only the generations of love start from love, which isn't the touchy-feely love. Love is the expansion of consciousness, which is truth, so that's why I say truth is love, love is truth. Because truth leads to knowledge, sovereignty, freedom, chaos, and order. It's just love as the force, and fear is a force. So, with love, you have knowledge, which is seeking truth. And that's the initial thing. The initial expression from love is you'd have seeking truth. When you care for truth, you seek it, and you gain knowledge. From that knowledge, the internal expression that will develop inside of you is sovereignty, self-governance, self-ownership, self-rulership, self-dominion. It's internal monarchy where you're the only one ruler. And from that, you express externally as freedom, external anarchy. You don't control anybody. The only person you control is yourself. And as everyone does that, the generative expression in all of reality is going to be order and good, the heaven on earth. Conversely, in fear, it constricts consciousness, so instead of seeking truth, you refuse to look for truth. You're ignorant, and you're content in your ignorance. You think you know it all, possibly. You don't need to learn. Nature teaches you everything, etc., etc. A bunch of bullshit. God teaches you. La, 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 la. You don't need to learn. This leads to confusion. I lived with people like this. New Agers didn't want to learn. Nature taught them. They already knew. They read Wayne Dyer. Oh, Greg Braden. But they, when they'd speak, they wouldn't speak shit that made any sense. They wouldn't speak understanding. They would speak confusion. Because they were in an internal anarchy. Because they refused truth and they were ignorant. Maybe they weren't at external control because they were so right brain dominant that it wasn't much on the control. But usually, when you're in internal confusion, you seek to control externally. Because internally, it's all a mess. It's all chaos and anarchy. And then externally, you try to create rules and restrictions and control everything because you're not in control internally. So it's a coping mechanism. And then as a result, you have everyone trying to control everybody else because no one wants to control themselves. No one wants to learn about truth and morality. And then you end up with chaos and evil on the outside. So that's the natural law expression chart. In summary, Mark Passio does it in more detail. I express it in more text from Mark Passio's work in the previous article, Consciousness and Polarity, and I will progress in a little summary in the next few, I guess, six to eight paragraphs, describing the natural law expressions a little bit. I won't go over my own natural law expressions chart, as everything is in text, and you can just read it yourself if you understand the trivium and natural law, and you'll just see how it applies. So please read the additional the previous article on consciousness and polarity if you want more details than these short descriptions I'm about to give. So the generative forces, there are two basic polar forces available for us to choose from to generate or create what we manifest in reality, love or fear. Many people consider the two polar forces to be love and hate, but this is due to a certain perspective that lacks deeper understanding. Hate manifests from fear. The initiative expression, so knowledge is seeking truth. Knowledge from seeking truth. The initial expression of love through natural law is seeking truth and the desire to know, which eventually manifests as knowledge and understanding of certain truths. Love is the force that expands consciousness and wants us to look at the truth contained in reality, what is, and allow us to expand our conscious awareness. Love is seeking truth. Love is truth. Ignorance, refusing truth, will make you ignorant. The opposite or negative initial expression of fear through natural law is the ignorance of not wanting to know and actively refusing knowledge and truth. Ignorance contracts conscious awareness. Ignorance is based in fear. Knowledge is based in love. Ignorance prevents an understanding of natural law and the root causal factors of our condition. Freedom comes with knowledge of truth, and ignorance leads to enslavement. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson said that quote. People think they can be free and not seek truth. Well, they don't even understand the dynamics of life. And they'll tell you, oh, I'm going to teach you how to enjoy life, because that's all it's focused on for them, is all pleasure, gratification, enjoy life. They don't want to understand life properly. They don't want to delve deeply into truth and morality. No, they just want to enjoy life. So enjoy your lives, you ignorant idiots. I ain't wasting my time on you anymore. You're not even going to be listening to this audio. There are essentially two states of rulership, a monarchy of one ruler or anarchy of no rulers. So this is the internal expressions. I don't remember if I mentioned that. The internal expression of the expansive force of consciousness manifests as internal monarchy. This is known as sovereignty, self-control, self-dominion, self-mastery, self-governance, self-ownership, and self-rulership of one's own thoughts, emotions, and actions. The contractive force of consciousness manifests internally as anarchy. A person is an oppositional duality consciousness that does not rule themselves and is not sovereign because they are in confusion due to ignorance of the truth. So the internal monarchy is sovereign, from Latin super, meaning above or over, and regnum, meaning rule or control. So you're above rule, you're above control of others. Only you control yourself. A sovereign is being a ruler over no other but our own kingdom of self. Our thoughts, emotions, and actions are in unison, harmony, and non-duality. Our thoughts are in a state of intelligence. Our emotions are in a state of care. Our courage has given us the will to act in proper moral ways in the world. We become united, whole, and one within ourselves so that we are not in internal contradiction, opposition, conflict, etc. A sovereign exists in degrees as well, because it is difficult to become a being that is completely unified with truth and act in harmony with it and themselves. Society is currently constructed to ensure we are not fully capable of uniting with the truth and ourselves by having us agree to live in a certain way that is contrary to principles of truth in order for us to survive in this current modality of living. Confusion comes from internal anarchy. Confusion is a state of being fractured and broken up internally as we are not in harmony and unison with ourselves. This condition is a result of not knowing and understanding what is going on inside of us because we have not looked at ourselves in full honesty and self-respect. We do not know our own psyche and consciousness, and so we act and behave in contradiction to our thoughts and emotions, which is an internal oppositional state of consciousness. Ignorance breeds confusion through a lack of acquisition of truths to bring greater clarity and understanding of one's life. acting against truth is the same as acting against ourselves, because what is right, good, and true is what is best for us. Our freedom, prosperity, peace, and everything good. We are in opposition with our own self. Internal disorder creates external disorder. The internal is reflected onto the external through the Hermetic principle of correspondence. The state of internal anarchy is someone not ruling themselves and their own house. A condition of internal confusion, opposition, contradiction, adversity, non-accordance, inconsistent, incoherent, incongruent, non-integrated, disunited, disharmony, and duality. The less we are in a capacity to rule ourselves, lack of knowledge, internal opposition, through attainment of truth to bring us the clarity and understanding to make right action, decisions, and choices, the more easily we can be manipulated from without into taking wrong action and choices. So the lack of knowledge, internal confusion, internal opposition is not going to enable you to make the right action, choices, and decisions. Because you're not going to have clarity. You're going to be obfuscated in confusion. Truth is the way. Truth is love. Love is truth. Embrace truth. Care for truth. Yes, that's my saying. That's the It's the slogan on my website. Truth is love. Love is truth. Truth unites. Lies divide. Embrace truth. Care for truth. External expressions. The external expression of love and fear through natural law manifest as freedom and control in our lives. So first, freedom is external anarchy. Freedom is external anarchy where no one is the ruler of anyone else. There are neither masters nor slaves. Everyone has equal rights and expresses their consciousness by living in harmony with natural law principles of truth. No one accepts the false beliefs of ownership over another living being. There is no delusion of thinking one has the right to control the actions of others who are not violating the natural law rights of another living being, such as is currently manifested through the institutions of police, military, and government. Those who work for and support these institutions are violating natural law every day. Control is based in the force of fear that results from a contraction or limitation of consciousness. This is control or external anarchy. I think I'm forgetting to read the subsections and I'm just reading the paragraphs, so I apologize. Consciousness is based in the force of fear that results from a contraction or limitation of consciousness. Consciousness is prevented from expanding through the force of love when people choose to be willfully ignorant and refuse the truth. This creates a state of internal anarchy and confusion, leading to a desire to exercise external control over others. As more people accept a fear-based consciousness and desire control, this centralizes power and external monarchy manifests. We are heading into this one-world government of one external monarchic force ruling everybody. Next subsection. Manifestations of natural law in our world. By moving through each positive expression of the generative force of love, we arrive at the manifestation of order, or everything we recognize and experience as good. Truth and love bring forward freedom, order, peace, harmony, and goodness. Love expands consciousness. And I'm not talking about romantic love or relationship love between friends and philos. Familial love and any of that. Oh, if you want more information on the love, I forgot to mention this in the previous audio, on the previous article. I have an article, Truth is Love, within a 3-hour, 40-minute audio explaining how truth is love. And how whenever you speak truth, it's always love. Unless you're purposely trying to hurt someone. But usually when you speak truth that hurts, you're trying to get people to wake up, face the mirror. So it is love. It is care, in that lower sense, And that's why love, as the higher sense, is the force that expands consciousness, because when you start to actually care for people, care for morality, care for truth itself and morality itself, even apart from people, then you care for people, then you care for other beings that aren't human people, there are other persons that are animals. That's what the force of love is. It's not, oh, I love you, you're my honey bun, oh, I love my children, oh, I love you, man. It's none of that. None of that. None of it. And this is what people are completely obsessed in society. They're so attached to this personalized, personal feelings. They don't want to get attached to truth and morality. God forbid they'd have to actually delve deeply into that and understand that deeply and get a true joy from that depth of the true self, of reconnecting with the true self and truly developing self-love. It's amazing how people are completely ignorant of this. To continue, contrarily, using the force of fear to generate our experience through ignorance, confusion, and attempting to externally control others is the current condition we have manifested known as evil or chaos. Fear contracts consciousness. Fear puts consciousness into a grave. This condition can be changed by helping people to understand natural law principles. Using the positive generative polarity does not create any of the negative expressions. The ever-expansive force of consciousness known as love or truth can only create positive expressions. Embodying truth or love and expanding consciousness and expanding conscious awareness does not foster ignorance. It's impossible when you embody truth and love to foster ignorance. You might still have ignorance, but whenever it's presented, you should care for truth in order to doubt and question and be curious about yourself, to verify yourself constantly. So you're not going to just keep fostering more and more ignorance. If you're looking for more and more truth and morality, eventually that search is going to reduce your ignorance. It's not going to increase it. Developing knowledge does not create internal confusion. Becoming a sovereign does not create external control. Living in freedom of anarchy and personal responsibility of self-governance and self-rulership does not manifest as chaos in the world. Believing we are generating from the force of love or truth while we actually manifest ignorance, internal opposition, and confusion, or attempt to impose an external control on others, is an indication that we are actually generating from the force of fear, which is a contraction of consciousness and limitation of knowledge and understanding. Desiring control, being in internal opposition and confusion with oneself or the truth, and willfully ignoring truth are due to a lack of attaining certain truths that would bring one to an understanding of the importance of aligning with truth and what manifests as a result. Employing a particular generative force will create the relative expressions with respect to that force and not the opposite. These are polarized principles because they work in mutually exclusive ways. This is how natural law and life function. Understanding this deeply will resonate with our core being, and we will recognize the veracity of natural law and how it operates in our daily life to manifest the conditions we experience. This is the real law of attraction, not the New Age one as espoused in The Secret, where you only have to imagine something and then it will manifest. That is not the way it works, but so many people have bought into the New Age feel-good, believe-whatever-you-want deception. Actions and behaviors seem to fly out the window in terms of importance to those who want to deny their involvement in wrong and bullshit that keeps us from going forward in evolving consciousness together. They want to play their little mind games, use some flawed foundational premises for logical confusions, imitate animal behavior, imitate caveman behavior, and other absurdities that are not foundational principles of truth by which to base right action upon and live our lives according to. Choosing to align ourselves with the expansive force of consciousness, which is love and truth, is how we manifest what is right, good, and true, which is what we should want to create instead of our current condition resulting from fear, ignorance, confusion, and control. Love embraces truth. Fear rejects truth. Evolving consciousness is embracing truth. Increasing our conscious awareness expands our consciousness and our embodiment of love and truth. Truth leads to greater love and care to expand and evolve consciousness through acquiring more truth that continues to expand that force, that feeds back on itself to perpetually grow and evolve as long as we have the will to do so and choose to remain in alignment with that force. That's what I'm talking about in previous articles on solipsism and truth. That as long as you're aligned with that force, you're going to keep growing and feeding back and evolving. If you step out of that force and you step out of the care for truth and you step out of seeking for truth, you are stepping back into another coffin. It might not be that first coffin that everyone else is dead and asleep and unawakened, unbegun, and uninitiated in. So you might have begun, you might have been initiated, you might have been awakened, but you chose to step off the path, stop learning, stop seeking truth, stop caring for truth and morality deeply, and you're just back, tent pitching, back in the coffin. Because that's what a tent pitcher is a secondary coffin. It's not the first one that you woke up from, but you decided, well, I'm going to go back in the coffin. I don't remember where I was, but let's go here. Increasing our conscious awareness expands our consciousness and our embodiment of truth and love. Truth leads to greater love and care to expand and evolve consciousness through acquiring more truth that continues to expand that force that feeds back on itself to perpetually grow and evolve as long as we have the will to do so and choose to remain in alignment with that force. There you go, I read it again to make it clear. The Kybalion expresses this understanding in similar words as well, describing it in aspects of alchemical transmutation. And it is this fact that enables the Hermeticist to transmute one mental state into another, along the lines of polarization. Things belonging to different classes cannot be transmuted into each other, but things of the same class may be changed, that is, may have their polarity changed. So if you're looking at, I don't know, I'd have to rethink about this. I'm not going to give an example. And then to continue further in the paragraph or later on in the page. And it will also be noticed that even when, to those unfamiliar with the principles of vibration, the positive pull seems to be of a higher degree than the negative and readily dominates it. The tendency of nature is in the direction of the dominant activity of the positive pull. So in life, we're always seeking truth, even if we're currently conditioned to reject it in our embodiment of the false selves, living in falsity. But we're always supposed to go to the positive pole. Always. So when you step off of seeking that positive pole, when you tent pitch, you're going back in the grave. You're not going towards the positive pole. You need will to go somewhere. You got to want it, or else you stagnate entropy, and then it's just frozen nothingness. You got to move, action. That's why people anthropomorphize a creator as having a will. Do I know or not? I don't know. No one knows the creative aspect. These are just symbols and words we use to try to express things that we conceptualize about reality. So we have a will, and we're made in the image of God, so God has a will. Well, that's the inference we make. So the will of creation is always to go towards the positive. The will of nature, the tendency of nature, is always to go towards the positive. Everything's active. Everything's active at the molecular level. Everything's active at the atomic level, I mean. Everything's moving. It's all moving. It's all activity. It's not activity at a higher order state, where things exist for themselves in their own wills. But as a universal will, you could say that that's what drives everything to keep moving. And if it wasn't for that will to keep moving, then everything would stagnate, entropize, and freeze. It would just be nothing and dead. So you need the will to make things move. So that's, anyways, I say it's all anthropomorphization because the only way we can relate these things is to relate it to ourselves. We're always using ourselves as a mirror in comparison when we're trying to describe something that is completely beyond us. It's all we have are fragments of images to try to describe this undescribable force, you know? The closest thing I can come to is it is truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law, true self, higher will. In my conceptualization, my understanding of reality, and my understanding of what our purpose is, what we're supposed to do, what's right, this is what I've come to understand. And I've found correspondences in Plato, Aristotle, St. Thomas Aquinas, and this is what's referred to as the transcendental beings. But I came up with this understanding even before. I haven't even read Aristotle, I haven't read Plato, I haven't read Aquinas. I've only read a little bit of things in my research that confirms what I'm thinking of is what other people have already thought of before. I'm trying to understand causality, the original causality, and where things come from. It is speculative, but it is based in logic, based on what we have now as information to deduce or induce other aspects of reality based on that. Is it 100%? Can it be proven? Not really, but the principles, the seven hermetic principles, they can be detected and seen. So then where do they come from? It's always a, where does this come from? Where does that come from? Well, originally there's an unmoved mover, and we're always trying to explain this as the original causer. Something comes from somewhere. It's not an infinite regressive loop that loops back on itself, and then we created the universe. You know, there would be no answer there. So there's something somewhere, we speculate, that creates everything. Anyways, this is I've been talking for 10 minutes or something on a completely side topic or whatever. To continue, note the class aspect that is mentioned is what I am talking about in my dualistic conceptual framework, represented by the frequency of truth, love, good, etc., for understanding and navigating reality. Dualities are polarities. Class is what is being used to as a measurement for, as a basis for measurement, that is to say, truth, love, good, etc. There are varying degrees of truth and less truth in the form of falsity, wrong, etc. Please read what I wrote about this framework to understand more of what I am talking about, and it will also create more correspondences and connections for a bigger picture holistic understanding. So I'm talking about when I read the Kybalion quote, where things belonging to different classes cannot be transmuted to each other, but things of the same class may be changed, that is, may have their polarity changed. So when you look into metaphysics as well, the classes would be the kind. So you'd have a class of animal. Or, no. The species, the genera of animal, and then man would be the class or species, and then you'd have me or you or anybody else. And you'd have animal, and then you'd have another class, cats. So my cat companion here, Luna, well, she's a part of a different class, a part of the same genera of animals. That's confusing things. I'm just relating it to metaphysics. So in the class that I'm talking about in the dualistic conceptual framework, I really should have elaborated on this paragraph because I wrote this a long time ago and I don't really remember what I was saying. I'd have to go look at my dualistic conceptual framework again, I think. So the class would be truth or falsity, love or fear, good or evil. So you can transmute within a class. So that's, if you go back to the natural law chart, that's within the polarity of love. You can only progress in that polarity. And that's basically what I mean. That class of love, you can only progress in that class. You can change from fear to love, but you can't go from love into ignorance, and you can't go from fear into sovereignty. You got to start from the polarity, and you got to change from the initial expression from the negative to the positive, and then start from the beginning. We have the choice to align with varying degrees of love or fear. This determines the quality of our collective shared experience as we co-create and manifest in reality through the totality of our actions, behaviors, and ways of being of each individual. This is the real way we create our reality that we choose to live in, not the New Age notion that you yourself create your own world reality and can manifest whatever you want. Truth is always truth, no matter the false beliefs and perceptions someone has about what is reality. Realize, realize, realize. Now, you probably didn't hear that, but it's real eyes, realize, real lies. I don't know if that comes from Tupac or whatever. That's a good little phrase. You gotta have the right vision, the right capacity to see the lies. Aligning perceptions with reality is right, good, and true, and expands consciousness, the force of love. Trying to be a god to force reality to conform to our erroneous belief constructs is false, wrong, and leads to badness created by ourselves, such as the current collective condition of the beings living on our planet. We did it to ourselves and to others. We all experience and perceive reality in varying degrees of relative similarity and difference to identify and recognize what is, but at the core of it all is the same thing, the truth, what is reality, only it is being viewed from different angles. This does not mean all perceptions are valid and true. We have two realities in our current manifested experience in the universe, the manifestation of the universe as it is, and that of conceptual frameworks and belief constructs to evaluate and assess, discern and judge what we are experiencing. I would just like to say there's the reality as it is, which is the territory, and then there's our conceptual frameworks and our bullshit beliefs that try to make sense of the reality and the territory, which becomes our map for navigating the territory, which is why I called my dualistic conceptual framework what is used for perceiving, conceiving, understanding, and navigating reality. Because these conceptual frameworks are our map, and if you have a faulty conceptual framework, which 100% of the people on this planet have, even me, I still have some, I'm sure. But 99.999999% of the people on this planet aren't even aware of their corrupted conceptual frameworks even existing within them. And they aren't even aware that there's a need to do work to remove them. So I don't exclude myself from still probably having them, but at least I'm not part of the ignorant masses who is unaware of the need to even do the work to remove false belief constructs and refine our conceptual frameworks to make sure they're not contradictory. That's what I do. I make sure my conceptual frameworks are non-contradictory and that they do flow from one thing to the other and it makes sense. This does not mean all perceptions are valid and true. We have two realities in our current manifested experience in the universe. The manifestation of the universe as it is, and that of... Oh, I already read this. Sorry. I was highlighting something. So I'll go back. So the manifestation of the universe as it is, and that of conceptual frameworks and belief constructs to evaluate, assess, discern, and judge what we are experiencing. Our way of perceiving the way we live and operate in the 3D physical reality is shaped by how we perceive ourselves and the external world and others. If we are manipulated into accepting and buying into lies and deceptions, then our way of looking at ourselves and the world will be altered from alignment with an accurate perception of reality as it truly is. We create illusions of fantasy to live in. This is some serious magic of mind control going on. Our course in life is then being guided by unseen hands manipulating our consciousness because we are ignorant of how we function and ignorant of the importance of aligning with truth and natural law principles. The way we can potentially individually create our own reality is when we accept degrees of fantasy illusions based on deception and falsehood. That is called a reality bubble of living in a make-believe world, of believing whatever you want or wish to be true. Solipsism is home to that modality of consciousness and is not based in reality and the truth of what is. That is inventing our own reality that only we ourselves can break free from, because only we are the ones who accept the beliefs that shape our way of perceiving things. These are self-imposed delusions. They are ultimately self-imposed chains that prevent us from facing the truth of reality, instead preferring to feel good and comfortable about our current way of living based in deception. None of this changes the actual objective reality that exists. Alignment with reality is the key. Not attempting to force reality to comply to our preconceived notions and concepts of how we want or wish things to be, but acting in the wisdom of right action to manifest the change and betterment that can be. The next section is right and wrong. Understanding natural law enables a deeper level of comprehension of the objective difference between what is right and what is wrong, between what is true and what is false. Unfortunately, most people have a hard time distinguishing the difference because of the degree of moral relativism in our civilization. So what is right equals correct, equals true, equals moral, equals natural law, equals do no harm, equals good. So you see how right is expressed in an apophatic of doing no harm, and that's good. Whatever you do no harm, that is good. What's wrong is incorrect, and it's false, and it's immoral, and it's not natural law, because it harms someone. And that is bad. It's evil. What is right is correct, accurate, true, moral, and based in natural law with no result in harm. What is wrong is incorrect, inaccurate, false, immoral, and not based in natural law, which does harm. Right, good, and true brings the clarity of understanding. Wrong, bad, and false brings the obfuscation of confusion. Something based in truth can be represented through the words right, correct, accurate, etc. 2 plus 2 equals 4 is true, right, correct, accurate, etc. Right is also used to represent moral action. That was the right decision to make. A decision or action is right and moral when it is based in natural law and not harming another living being. Actions are right to take when they do not result in harm. Conversely, wrong is associated with what is not true, such as 2 plus 2 equals 5, which is false, wrong, incorrect, inaccurate, etc. An action someone does not have the right to take is a wrong action because it results in harm to another living being. A right is most easily understood in the negative apophatic sense to demonstrate that we do not have a right to do. To demonstrate what we do not have a right to do because there are far too many actions which do not result in any harm to bother listing them all. You're going to list the million, trillion ways that you cannot do harm, or you're going to find out the ways that you can do harm and define it that way. So this is one way that the definition in the positive isn't completely accurate, because you can gain much more accurate understanding through defining natural moral law in the apophatic sense in terms of what you don't have the right to do and what does not cause harm. That's the best way to understand natural moral law, I think, because understanding falsity and evil is pivotal to understanding morality. I've demonstrated this in Falsity and Evil, and in Falsity and Evil Addendum on Neutrality, other articles that you can look into. To continue, understanding what we do not have a right to do enables us to understand what we do have a right to do. Defining what we do have, what we do not have a right to do, enables us to understand and affirm what we do have a right to do. It is simple to understand once you have all the pieces to construct the puzzle or paint an accurate picture. Something based in truth is based in principles, natural law, and will not result in harm. Something based in non-truth or falsehood is not based in principles of natural law and will result in harm. The simplicity of how this functions can only be expressed and spoken about. We cannot force anyone to accept it if they are not at a level of conscious awareness to be able to understand it. You can't stick a needle in someone's arm and inject them with the understanding of natural law. You can't shine a light in their face and have them all of a sudden come to a Satori awakening. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort, it takes the desire for care, the desire and care for truth and morality. And without that, you're never going to learn. To test if an action is in compliance with natural law, imagine this scenario where there are only two people, such as the previous law and tax example. An action that is wrong for one being to take against another is the same as one person or group of people having the right to take that same action in a world of 7 billion people. A conscience is the ability to distinguish right from wrong, from the Latin com, meaning together, and sire, to know. Or siere, to know and understand. Conscience is to know together, to be mutually aware of. I've gone into greater detail in the article Axioms, Existence, Conscience, and Identity, and in Tracing Reality, A Visionary Quest of Wisdom, and Characters in Our Character. You'll find conscience and consciousness in one of those three. Conscience is to know together, to be mutually aware of. In other words, it is common sense knowledge, a sense of right and wrong that we all share in common. Yes, as a true self, we are all the same self and we all share that in common. And that's to come into the future after I do my natural law on the conception of true self and all that jazz. We're supposed to recognize right and wrong by having a developed conscience by our conditioning, but our conditioning into falsehood, deceptions, and believing fantasy as reality distorts our innate capabilities to align ourselves with what is right instead of what is wrong. Here I have a quote from Richard Wetherill from the book Right as Might, page 23, and I read this in, I think, the article on truth. Under analysis, a person discovers that situations consist of elements, some of which are wrong and others right. If he sorts out and examines those elements, truth is easily separated from error. This is the process of non-contradictory validation. That's my interjection. To continue with Wetherill's quote, some tasks of sorting are more difficult than others, but only because they are more complicated. They have more elements. Therefore, they take more time to analyze, or perhaps the individual lacks knowledge of how to deal with them. So again, we need time. If you don't put in the time, you're not going to be able to remove contradictions. You're going to be living in confusion forever. Often it is hard to collect all the pertinent facts. Some facts may be filled in by speculation, and here it is important that the speculation be done by a scrupulous person. If those analyses are continued long enough, there finally emerges a clear pattern of distinction between right and wrong. Those who act before a clear pattern emerges are the persons whose irresponsibility is causing much of society's trouble, which is 99% of the people who do not care for truth, who do not seek truth, who do not seek to understand more, who are living in confusion and are allowing external control to run rampant because they're in confusion and they're in fear. They're in fear created from their own confusion, and they're in complete fear of truth, which is why they ignore truth, because they're apathetic towards truth, and it leaves them to be cowardice in living in truth, and lazy in living in truth.